I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. It is just Jody and I today, and we are here talking about something that comes up fairly often in trying to heal pans and pandas, and that's focusing on just one symptom.
Yeah.
So many people want to do it, and it's usually the symptom that is the one that drives you the most crazy, and that's almost always the one that is going to be the longest to heal. And it is a surefire way to make things not go as you would expect or as you would want. So when we're dealing with homeopathy, we always have to look at the totality of symptoms in order to see progress in the case. This really means that sometimes the symptom that is going to have the most effect in finding the correct remedy for the whole of the case is not one that is the main thing that you would be focusing on if you were to only choose one or two things. So this is a big mindset shift that we have to really take in when we are starting homeopathy for the first time, brand new to it. And sometimes even as we're going through homeopathy, even after a while, we can just get so focused in on this one symptom that is just stubborn, annoying. I want this to go away. And we think I could live with everything else if we could just make this one thing go away. But that symptom, especially if it's OCD, or tics, might not be well represented in the materia medica, which is what we use as classical homeopaths to select the remedy that best covers the case. And this is based off of proving symptoms. So the tests that were done on humans that were healthy individuals to see what symptoms a remedy could produce in a healthy person, and then clinically verified. So what it was had been proven to be used in a person who is unhealthy and see that symptom recover for good. And so if it did not show up, if somebody didn't say this specific symptom in any of the provings, we don't have it in our literature. We can always add to the literature, but then you have questions about who is adding it? How are they adding it? You know, do we trust the source? And so not all provings are made equal. Not all homeopaths are made equal. And so there are certain homeopaths that if they add a symptom and say this remedy covers this particular OCD, there's certain ones that I'm like, nope, I don't trust that at all. And there's others that I'm like, yes, if they say this, I do trust it. And it's actually verifiable because I know them and I know their process, right? So Jody, what would you offer to moms and dads listening to this who feel really frustrated or maybe are having a difficult time making that shift in the mindset and understanding that really like a symptom from constipation might be the thing that gets the remedy that helps the OCD start to heal? What would you offer to them?
It's a hard shift because we're also talking about shifting out of sort of the suppression mindset, mm-hmm. because it seems like I must have thought you were a sorcerer when we started homeopathy, because like I fully expected that you would be able to get rid of symptoms. This was my lack of knowledge about homeopathy back then. Like I really honestly thought like all you had to do was tell me the next remedy and it could get rid of OCD, or it could get rid of separation anxiety. Like I didn't understand the whole like the body's going to heal itself process. I didn't understand that you didn't have more. I thought you had more control of it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, I don't know, maybe because like all I knew was like I give a pill and symptoms go away. But then switching into homeopathy is really just kind of a grand unlearning of that and kind of relearning. But it's so hard because like the thing, like, I mean, I don't even remember what it was when we came in. It was probably either OCD or rage. That was like the thing. I needed you to help the thing go away or get better or whatever it was. And what I know 100% sure was that the second that you actually did get rid of the thing immediately switched to something else, because something else was at like all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, rage is better, but I'm not sleeping. It's taking hours to get to sleep. And we're dying because we're not sleeping. And sleep deprivation feels awful. Mm-hmm. And so that became my next thing. And the things just kept replacing themselves. And it's just really like a grand understanding that is just not how homeopathy works.
One of the things that was coming to my mind is that you might see, because the body's going to heal at its own pace, in its own order. And so you might see that one remedy seems like it treats this thing. And it might feel like you're just addressing one thing at a time. And now you've got this next thing to address. And that's not really what's happening. It might be that we're peeling layers, so something becomes more prominent because it's a symptom that was more suppressed by the most important, most externalized symptom. And so it can seem like it's becoming more prominent, but it's not necessarily that this remedy treated this thing and now we need another remedy to treat this thing and then we're going to get another remedy to treat this thing, even though it can sometimes potentially feel that way. And I think that sometimes people will start to interpret it that way, and that can shift how they're reporting what they're seeing, and that can also then shift outcomes. Because the truth of the matter is, like you said, that you feel like you are in the mindset of suppression or palliation, and that's understandable because that's where we come from if we were raised with conventional medical practices or allopathic medicine, because in that system of medicine, our goal is to suppress or palliate or kill things, right? And so it is an understandable thing to expect that you think you're just using a natural treatment to do the same thing when that's just not the case, because conventional medicine has already chopped us up into little bits, right? We have our primary care doctor, but our primary care doctor's job is to see which specialist we need to go see for which chopped up part. We need to see this person for our heart. We need to see this person for our liver. We need to see this person for our bladder. We need to see this person for our large intestine. This person, sometimes even this person for our small intestine. We need to see this person for our joints, but this other person for our bones. So even though it's connected to our bones, our joints need a different doctor than our bones, right? So we've chopped ourselves all up as if we're not all connected, and that the things that are happening in our nervous system aren't affecting the things that are happening in our intestines and aren't affecting the things that are happening in our joints. Homeopathy sees the totality of that. And so we have to, anything that's going to address the totality can't take a suppressive viewpoint. That said, homeopathy can be used palliatively. And so that's a trap that you can get into if you really try to focus on one symptom. Or just a few symptoms. I'm going to point the finger at you, Jody, as I do so frequently, that there were times that you tried to come to the visit and I could tell you were not telling me something. And we got lucky that you and I have some ability that I can connect and understand that, or that you were just maybe not that good at hiding things.
I'm a bad liar.
And that you were also very willing to, with just the smallest nudge, be like, yeah, there is something else that I should probably tell you, but I really don't want to tell you this because I want you to do this thing. And if I tell you this other thing, it's going to change what you're going to do. And so I'm trying to manipulate the situation to get the outcome that I want, right? Because I want to control. I want this thing to happen. That when we try to do that, we can end up accidentally going into a palliative place. You might say, I'm going to just focus on this symptom, symptom X and symptom Y. That's it. And I'm not going to tell my provider about anything else. You might see improvements with the remedy that you get, but you're probably going to start bouncing between a ceiling and the floor and never moving beyond. So you're going to stay on the second floor and just bounce up and down between being at the ceiling or being at the floor. And you're never going to get to the third or fourth floor and getting all the way up to the top where you're trying to go, because you're just palliating, because we don't have a complete symptom picture to know the totality of the susceptibility and the disturbance to the vital force.
I'm going to circle back and say something you said earlier that I think it was the question, I didn't answer it. This is why it's so important to like share everything and not hold back anything, because what you were saying a second ago is sometimes it's not that particular symptom are the most predominant symptom that's going to give you the information that you need in order to select the best remedy. And I remember, I have no idea which family member it was, but we were in a follow-up appointment talking about all of the things. And I remember that you had shared with me that you were between a couple of remedies. You weren't 100% sure yet. So you were asking some final questions. And I remember saying something about a lump in the throat. And you were, and it was something specific that I said about it. I don't remember what it was, but you were like, that's it. I know I'm good. And it was like other big problems that I want suppressed, but it was that other thing that helped you get to the remedy. I think that's what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's it, like, it's important to really like pay attention to the little other things, because it's where the little details of the other stuff might be what gets you to getting the big problematic thing taken care of.
My favorite example that I love to give when I'm teaching parents or providers about the importance of the totality of symptoms are the cases where I got really stubborn anxiety and tics to improve because a parent told me that their kid was constipated and had to stand up to poop. And that symptom is a really good symptom that is only actually covered by a couple of remedies. Because if you think about it, body, like the way our body is built, it should not be easier to pass stool when you are standing up. And so if that is a characteristic, unique symptom that can really lead us in a really good direction. And so this symptom that more than once, a kid needing to stand up to poop when they're constipated, leading me to something that not only helps that, but also helps their sleep, helps their anxiety, helps their tics, helps their sensitivities, helps their sensory sensitivities, you name it. So it's these small things that might not seem relevant to you that can be really vital for selecting the correct remedy when it can have the impact that you want it to have. And that's one of the things that just homeopathy is such an exercise in relinquishing control, because we cannot control the speed that the body heals. We can't control which symptoms heal first. We can't control any of those things, right? Like, we can't control how long they're going to respond to a remedy, none of those things. And the more we try to control, the more complicated we can make it. And we can delay the outcomes that we actually want because we're trying to aggressively seek those outcomes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much more to say about it. No. I mean, you can focus on one or two symptoms and it probably won't go the way you want it to.
That. Because this is something that I struggle with so much, and I want to stop every single time I see it and try and help whoever it is talking about it understand it, because I think it's hard. And there's just, there's misinformation out there. And there are, I believe, some homeopaths that are using remedies to suppress symptoms.
It's a different style of treatment. It's not homeopathy. If it's not using the law of similars and it is not using the totality of symptoms at the minimum effective dose, then it is not homeopathy. So it's not saying that it's like, if it's working for people, it's fine. Just don't call it homeopathy. Call it isopathy. Call it something else, you know. But if it's not the single medicine for the totality of symptoms based on the law of similars at the minimum effective dose, it's not homeopathy.
So. Okay, you're right. But I wish that I could infuse understanding into these conversations that I see about like big picture, like end goal. And you're not going to get a child to the place where Avery is today, where she is doing well, she is living life, she is getting all the infections, being exposed to mold, doing like all the things without going back into PANS. Like, that's not going to happen if you're just like getting rid of symptoms. It's really like walking out that full healing journey and allowing her body to like move through all of this as it needs to move through it. It's just two different things. And I have yet to find the group of moms who've been doing the homeopaths that are doing the, okay, I'm going to help you get rid of OCD and rage, and then your child is doing well. It's just really like, it's just like working, it's different goals.
It's using homeopathic medicine as if it's allopathic medicine. And we can't do that. We can't expect the outcomes that we can get with classical Hahnemannian homeopathy if we're not using it in the way that Hahnemann described in the Organon of Medicine. And the reality is we have to remember it all goes back to susceptibility and trying to pretend or behave as if we have one susceptibility to OCD and one susceptibility to rage and one susceptibility to migraines and one susceptibility to difficult menstrual periods, but then we're not recognizing that we are one unified, integrated human and that all of the things affect other things, that all of those are interconnected. And so if we don't accept and see that and report and address things as if they are connected, then we're not going to see the full recovery that is possible when we are stimulating the body to heal itself and restoring the vital force to its optimal function. And so, as I was saying, you can focus on just one symptom, and you are not going to get the same results. If you're focusing your homeopathic care in a palliative way, you're going to get palliative results. You have to look at it at an all-encompassing totality healing way in order to get the healing of the totality of the whole person. And that just means you have to be patient. You have to be patient with those symptoms that you really hate. And it's, what is it that we are given the things that we need to reflect on for ourselves, the challenges, right? They're given to us for reasons. And perhaps there's something that you will recognize probably after the fact that was the gift of the symptom that was the most difficult and most distressing or most triggering for you. Because that's the thing, is sometimes it's the thing that is most triggering for your child. And sometimes it's the thing that's most triggering for you. And that might be just as much about you as your child. You know, it happens both ways. I see parents who are like, they're suffering so much, they're so distressed by this, and I can't stand this, as both of the like reasoning when I'm having to pull somebody away from like the singular focus.
Yeah. I love that, because it's true. And it's a disease. I don't know why it's hard for me to talk about Avery's OCD. I hated it so much. And it was her OCD resulted in like the biggest change in my life. And my life is completely and totally different now because of the exact way that OCD manifested in her. And I think that like what you said, like we're not going through all these things for naught. There's like, I'm just,
can you tell us how your life is different because of the OCD?
Well, it was, so her specific, she had a couple of OCDs, but her specific OCD was she had these children's Bibles and she had to, her OCD was, she needed to read the Bible stories. And it wasn't just about reading the Bible stories. She had to read them to me. And then afterwards, I had to repeat back what I thought the story meant. So she would read me David and Goliath. And then I would have to tell her what I thought it meant. And if I did not tell her in a way that she thought was correct, or that she didn't feel like I truly understood what the story meant, she would have to read the story over again. And so that's like, we did that over and over and over again. And that was the first time in my life that I had been exposed to the Bible, in the Word. Like looking back, I'm like, we were living in the Word. I was living in the Word through my child's OCD. And it was probably the only way I would have ever been exposed to it. And that changed my life completely. So like without PANS, that would have never happened. And I can't imagine if that would have never happened. So I don't know.
And yet you hated it when it was happening.
I hated it totally. And it was the thing, like one of the things I expected Sorcerer Dr. Barr to get rid of immediately. And I was frustrated when it didn't go away immediately. But for whatever reason, she, you know, it kept going. We kept reading every single day. And that was completely life-changing for me.
All right. One more thing that just came to mind that I think probably should be said for somebody out there, that what if you only feel like you have one or two symptoms and they're one of those tough symptoms that don't have a lot of information in the Materia Medica? There's probably something else that you might not connect to PANS. You're just going to have to look and just talk about you as a whole person. This is why I start all of my visits and I say, tell me how things have been going since we last talked. And I'm not saying just go through your symptom list. I want to tell me about your life. Tell me about what's going on. Let's just chat. What are you looking forward to in the future? Do you have anything coming up that I should be aware of? Any changes that have come about in your life? And through those quick few check-ins and like little chat, sometimes things will come up that you think are not a symptom that actually might be a symptom. And so if you are getting stuck and you are like, I only have a few symptoms to focus on, what do I do? That might be a good time to go through like a head-to-toe review on your own. And then potentially if you need support with your provider and just say, can we do a quick head-to-toe review? Is there anything going on that might be helpful? And then if there's still nothing, if you're just generally well, other than, you know, a few stubborn symptoms, then we're going to look at things like strong generals. And this is like food preferences, temperature sensitivities and preferences, things that you're reactive to in your environment and in your relationships and that type of thing. Times of day when things tend to be really more prominent. And so you can find other ways to really look at it to find a remedy that don't necessarily feel related to the symptom, but that can be useful for you as a whole person for establishing something that's a little bit more notable or that helps narrow down. If you've got like 100 remedies you can select from and you don't have a lot of really great specifics or that are verifiable, then we are going to start looking at that type of thing. And one more thing I feel like I should add is that especially with tics and OCD that don't have a lot of great symptoms in the Materia Medica, some are really, really fantastic. Some remedies, those are very, very, very well proven because they have strong impact on the nervous system. But the exact expression of the OCD and the exact expression of the tics are not always something we can find. So it doesn't always help to dive in further. Do the best you can to get the symptom that you can see in front of you. But it doesn't always help to try and dive in further and further and further because you might just be going further down a rabbit hole that doesn't have a rabbit in it, right? And so that's when we might need to say, okay, let's take a step back. We've gotten the details that we can and let's look around it. Okay. So our hope for all of you is that you find full recovery for your kiddos, which is why we harp so much on these things that are necessary for full healing and classical homeopathy. And again, you know, if you got something else and it's working for you, that's great. If it stops working, this might be part of it. So maybe come back to this. If you're not taking a classical homeopathy approach, but you start to find that it's just not holding for you the way that you want it to, or that every time there's a new infection or a new exposure, the things come back because you're not addressing the specific susceptibility and the totality of the symptoms.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
Okay. We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.